interesting week. Interesting week in so, so very different, many different ways. Got to watch Baccalaureate last Sunday. Absolutely fantastic. It was great to hear all the different speakers. It was really interesting how God put that together last week. And it was just a huge blessing to be a part of that and watch the young men and women get up and speak and the different things that went along with that. This week I got to watch one of my grandkids, actually two of my grandkids. That was a good thing. Had an opportunity to do a funeral for a family in the area. And all these different things kind of came together. I don't know how to put this together. I'm not sure if I got it completely in my head yet. So I'm kind of trying to work this out as we go along. So on Wednesday, I don't know why this struck me so hard. On Wednesday, I was watching Gideon, my youngest grandchild. We were in Granville. And, of course, we were at the house, and Brian was trying to sleep, and Gideon was kind of got a lot of energy and stuff like that. And so he's a two-year-old, so we busted out, as Miss Loretta likes to say. We're going to get out of the house and go have some fun. So I grabbed Gideon by the hand, and we went outside and walked down the street a little ways. We went to the park. We had a great time. They had the slides and everything, and he was playing on the slides, and we were doing all that fun stuff. He was having a great time, and we got done with the slides, and you could tell that was getting old. And so the swing set was on the other side of the park, and so I said, hey, you want to go swing? And he said yes. And so we're walking through the grass over the swing set, and I know this is weird, I get it, okay? As we're walking from the slides to the swing set, there were a couple rocks, memorial rocks, that were in the park, okay? And I think those memorial rocks, not those exact same ones, but I think there's something that's representative in all the small communities throughout this entire nation. I think if you go to almost any small town or large town and go to the park or go to significant places within those communities, you're going to find something very similar. And what it was the rocks to remember the veterans and to remember those people who have given a great sacrifice for their country and just wanting us to remember. But on each one of those rocks, I think if you go from community to community, the same words are going to be written on most of these monuments, on most of these remembrance or these Ebenezer stones, as I like to call them. And it says this: in God we trust. And it was so weird because I got Gideon's hand. I'm walking across the grass, and we're going to the swings, and we're walked by these rocks, and I happen to look over and see these rocks, and in bold, it's like it was standing out. It says, "In God we trust." And it struck me. And I honestly started to cry. Going from the swing, from the slides to the swing, and seeing these simple words, "In God we trust," and it just welled up something inside of me, because God has given us markers. He has instilled places that we can remember and be reminded. And it's not just in our parks and in our famous places. You're carrying it around with you every single day, on every coin, on every bill, on everything that is printed from our mints. It says the exact same word. I don't care if it's a dollar bill or five or 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or whatever it is, on the back of every bill. If you don't believe me, pull it out and look. On the back of every bill, in very bold print, it says what? In God we trust. At some point in time, I hope we see that. I hope we see it and remember it. Because I feel weird about this. I really do. I'm preaching to our graduates, but I'm preaching to each one of us too. Because we're in a transition. Just like our graduates are in a transition from one phase of life to another, we're in a transition, and it's a very dangerous transition if we don't heed the words, "In God we trust." You see, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says this very plainly. I can quote it. This is one of the verses I can actually quote. "There's a way that seems right to men, There is a way that seems right to men. I'm going to stop right there because that is so true. All of us have a way. All of us have a plan. All of us have a dream. All of us have aspirations. And graduates are, you're right in that group. You're right there at the precipice. As a matter of fact, I think we have graduations so we make kids think about the next step of their life. That's what these transitions are about. It helps us to inspire us to think about what's coming next. Is it going to be high school and how I'm going to be in high school, or if it's going to be college, or if it's going to be going into the workforce or the military, all these different things. These moments of transition, these graduation moments, are there to inspire you to think about what's coming next and what you're going to do. What are your plans? As a matter of fact, if you have not been asked this question, you're probably getting sick and tired of it. What are you going to do next? Has anyone heard that, graduates? Eighth graders are like, yeah, I'm going to high school. High school graduates are like, yeah, I'm going to college, or yeah, I'm doing this, or yeah, I'm going to do that. You really got a plan, and it seems right to you. But I'm going to ask you very plainly, have you included God in that decision?
Well, there's not much of a decision. I have to go to high school.
Yeah, but how are you going to go to high school? What are you going to be while you're there? What is going to be your priority? What's going to fill your heart and mind and your actions while you're there? You see, the rest of the saying in Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to man. And we're following it. Man's following it right now in our country, in our nation, in our world. We're following what seems right to us. But it says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, he says, there's a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it leads to what? It leads to death or destruction. You see, there is one way, one truth, one life, and it comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he has a plan and a hope for each one of us. As a matter of fact, it cracked me up. It really did. I love baccalaureate. It was one of the cutest things to watch. And even when Daniel Schoaf came in to show me his speech that he's doing at baccalaureate, I even talked to him about it just a little bit because he had this passage of scripture in his baccalaureate speech. It was Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Surprise! Ding, ding, ding. It says this very plainly. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amazing. That's a great graduation moment, a great passage of scripture that needs to be read. But here was the thing. The girl who got up first to speak at baccalaureate, guess what? She said, I'd like to share a passage of scripture with you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it was hilarious because it was hilarious. Okay, so she read it, and as she was reading, I was looking down at the rest of the graduates, and I, without knowing exactly who was speaking, could have told you who was about to speak because they all went, because the second person that came up after they gave their speech, they're saying, and I'd like to share a passage of scripture with you. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and they read chapter 29, verse 11. And the third person came up, which is Daniel, and he says, I have a passage of scripture I would like to share with you. Do you see the pattern that's going on here? And he says, it's Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. Everyone's going, oh. That's a great passage of scripture. Let me read it to you again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And everyone at graduation seems to stop right there. But there's a second part to this passage you've got to get. You've got to understand. And it goes right along with In God We Trust. Because we have in our minds that God is going to prosper me and keep harm from me and give me a hope and a future. No matter what, no matter if I follow my plans or his. But there's a second part of this passage you got to hear. It says this very clearly. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Do you hear the qualification in there? It says, when you pray to me and come to me, I will listen to you. And then it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. You see, there's a if and or kind of statement in the midst of that. Yes, God wants to give you plans. He has great plans for you. He has plans not to harm you. He has plans to give you a future and give you hope. But there's an if and or there in the midst of that, and it's if you'll call on me. And if you call on me, if you'll seek me, you will find me. And if you find me, then you'll find out what my plans are for you. And if you don't find me, if you think you're going to follow the ways of men, what was best for you, then watch out. Because the ways of men leads to death. The ways of God lead to life. And we've got to hear that. And the reason I want to share this with you more than anything else is because this little passage right here where it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. That's a hard part. All your heart. It's a scary part. I'm looking at my eighth grade graduates. I'm looking at Davey back here. See Truth back there. Where'd she go? Am I not seeing her? There she is. Okay, I see her now. All right. I'm thinking of our eighth grade graduates, and they're getting ready to go into high school. And I see our kids nowadays, and I see, whew. It concerns me. Because their hearts are getting filled by seventh and eighth grade so quickly with other things. Do you realize that? There is so much information. There is so much garbage in our world today that is filling the hearts and minds of our young people. Do you get that? I feel like I'm getting to be an old guy. I'm sorry. I'm getting to be an old fuddy-duddy. I get it. I understand it. I'm looking back and I'm saying, man, when I was a kid, you know, I was more concerned about fishing and catching crawdads and playing, you know, red light, green light, and ghosts in the grave. Who was talking about that? The simple games that we were playing as kids. Does everyone, all the old people, raise your hand and say, I remember this. Do you remember this? It wasn't real complicated. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't real complicated back then. Even in seventh and eighth grade, I was still scared to death of girls. You know what I'm saying? I knew I wanted to be close to them, but I didn't know how close I wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those things I was, whoo, it's scary. Now, our kids are being flooded. Their hearts are getting filled so early. And it's hard. It's hard to seek God with your whole heart when it's already being taken captive by the things of the world. So I pray for our eighth graders. Because right now is a pivotal time in your life. Along with our high schoolers and our college graduates, the longer we go, the more our hearts get filled with the things of the world. And if we haven't got taken the time to allow Christ to come in, the world will fill our hearts with the things that make our plans seem so important. And if we don't have a part of Christ in our hearts early, we don't have anything to offset the temptations and the desires of the world. Does that make sense to you? You've got to hear it, because if there's nothing saying no, if there's no Holy Spirit saying no, this is wrong, then everything is right. And if we're thinking everything is right, everything is good, everything that I can determine what is right and wrong and what's good for me and what's not good, if that's the barometer, if that's the way that we're going to look at the world, we're in a lot of trouble. And guess what? We are in a lot of trouble. Because if there is no barometer of right and wrong, then wrong becomes right. And we're seeing it today. And right becomes wrong. And we're seeing it today. Hit pretty close to home this week, didn't it? Okay, I'm gonna go throw it out there. Okay, pretty close to home. And this is what I'm saying to our graduates. Dixon is not far away. Amen, Candy Lynn? Closer than you think. At some point in time, someone has to stand up and say, this is wrong. We all know it. But are we saying it? Are we willing to say it to a point that a foundation is laid that we can overcome that? We're in a transition. And within every transition, God says something very important to his people. When he was transitioning from David to Solomon, David said some very incredible things. If you take a look with me very quickly here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. David's passing the torch on to Solomon. Verse 9. David says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Let me read that to you again because I kind of said it fast. And you, my son or daughter, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Jump down to verse 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of I'm going to stop right there. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Now Solomon, or David is talking to Solomon about the temple that's being built, but we know what the real temple of God is, don't we? What is the real temple? I hope we do. Man, if we don't, we got to really back up. Do you know what the real temple of God is? Yes. Us. The real work that God is trying to work is to create is that he lives in the temple, and the temple is us. And the way that he lives in the temple is by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And the way that the Holy Spirit dwells within us is that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of sin, so that the Holy Spirit might dwell within us. He says there's a work that needs to be done, and he's going to finish it. And what we need to do more than anything else is to seek him. Here's the thing. Woo! Gosh! Can I get this in? We got to seek him. We got to find him with our whole hearts. We got to search for him with our whole hearts. And if we search for him with our whole hearts, he will reveal himself to us. He will reveal himself through the word, if that's how you learn. Some kids learn by reading, right? I'm not one of them. Some kids learn by reading. If you read and you're a learning person with by reading, you'll find him here. Some people learn by pictures. I'm a picture guy. Give me a picture book, I'll figure it out. He gives us pictures throughout this word. Some people learn by experience, by going out and doing. And he does that in an amazing way when we serve him. He will show himself to us however he created us to learn. And here's the amazing thing. I want you to do it now. eighth graders, I want you to do it now before you get into high school. Because when you get into high school, your hearts are going to be filled with, there's so many more things that are going to be filling your hearts. Do you hear me? There's so many more temptations. High schoolers, you're going off into the world. There's so many more temptations that you're going to be experiencing. College guys, there's so many more temptations. There's so many more things. Man, there's going to be families and wives and bills and taxes and all these things that are going to fill and consume your heart and your life. Do it now. Ask Christ to come into your heart now. And here's the amazing thing. It doesn't mean that all the temptations and all the heart-filling things disappear, but it takes the pressure. Hear me out. It takes the pressure off of you if you will seek him and ask him to come into your life. It takes the pressure off of you to take those temptations and push them away. Because here's an amazing passage that I shared this week with a family in John chapter 10. And we got to get this. And you got to hear it. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says this. I'm going back up to verse 25, John 10. Jesus answered, I said, I did tell you, but you didn't believe. Oh, I'm getting itchy. Because here's the thing I'm getting itchy. I know I'm saying these words. I know they're coming out of my mouth because I can hear them with my own ears. But I can't make you listen. So hear me, please. Hear me now, please. Listen to what he says. I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I did do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Listen, please. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Listen to what he says. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here's what I'm trying to say. Allow Christ to come in. Seek him with your heart right now. Ask him to come in. And once you do that, when Christ comes into your heart, it's no longer dependent on you hanging on to God. It's God hanging on to you. He's hanging on to you. When you're going through the floods, God's hanging on. When you're going through the fire, God's hanging on. It's not determined on your ability to grip and hang on to him. He hangs on to you. In Proverbs, it talks about train a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not go from it, fall from it. I didn't say that right. Someone help me out. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, what? He will not part from it. The reason he won't part from it, it's not because he hasn't tried to pull away. It's because he cannot get away from the grip of God. I'm a mom. Whew. Has anyone ever tried to pull away from the grip of their mom? How'd it go? I remember my mom, man, when she got a grip on me, I could fight even when I was older. It was pretty embarrassing, but when she got a grip on me, she had a grip on me. And I wasn't going to run away. And that was my mom. We're talking God. He's asking us to submit our lives to him and then rely on him. That doesn't mean the temptations go away. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But it means that he's in control. And we can trust him. No matter what comes. Have you trusted him? I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get lighter in the world. It's not going to get lighter until the great light comes.
and then he'll illuminate all. This board tells us very plainly that it's going to get darker. The temptations are going to get greater. It will be harder and harder to turn the hearts of men to God. Tomorrow it's not going to be any easier, because the world is going to fill our hearts with a little bit more. The next day is going to be even harder. And the day after that is going to be harder to come to the truth and come to the light. Today's the day. Today. Tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. You need him. You need to trust him. We're all graduating. We're graduating from today to tomorrow. And we all need him. And if we think we're going to do it without him, we are sorely, painfully mistaken. Today's the day. Are you ready to graduate? Are you ready to live for him? Are you ready to have something inside that says this is right and this is wrong, that is true? Then the Spirit of God is willing. Are you?